at this time, I believe we're going to go ahead and introduce our speaker. I caught him in the hallway earlier and I said, well, Brother Nick, do you want any special introduction? He said, ask if anybody knows where the AFEB is and the CPR, or knows how to do CPR. I said, I know both recovered. So at this time, let's keep him in our prayers. I'm sure he'll appreciate it. And we're going to bring Brother Nick up here to share some thoughts with us.
Amen. Okay, the other night, someone asked Brother Jacob if he was asked to speak, how he would feel, and his response was actually really awesome. He said, honestly, I would be honored. So, Brother Jacob, I do feel honored to speak to the youth, but I also feel extremely nervous. You know, as my mom was up here the other night, I thought it was interesting. She said she was extremely nervous, and my mom doesn't always exude nervousness, but she said, you know, being out of our comfort zone and being in a position that we're not used to, you know, we get more nervous. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, God. We feel a great burden for these youth, God. We're so thankful for each and every one of them that had put forth the effort to come out, God. And I pray you just bless each and every one of them. Help us to say something to help them in their lives, God. Help us not to have anything or say anything that's in ourselves, God. Help us to have only what you would have us to bring. And just help us, help the service after this, and help all the ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I want to take a moment first and thank the Lord for everything he's done in my life. I feel so unworthy to be standing here and so unworthy for all the blessings God has blessed me with. You know, my godly heritage, as I talk about my mom, Sister Cummings, if you guys don't know who my mom is. She spoke about her heritage, and I'm so blessed to have that. And being blessed to be in this congregation. I was talking to a brother this morning who didn't get to he wasn't a youth. He didn't get to be raised as a youth in this congregation. And he said, the youth need to realize what a blessing they have. And right. And I said, yes, they do. And then I said, wait a minute, yes, we do. Because I feel like, you know, I don't always take that to heart. But I'm so blessed for that and my family. I thank the Lord for this camp meeting. The messages have been absolutely powerful and outstanding. And then last night when the Holy Spirit moved in, I hope you guys realize how special that is for God's Spirit to visit us in a way that he did last night. It was absolutely amazing. The song that was sung, The Center of His Will, I didn't know that song was going to be sung, and I'd already had thoughts that was leading me to talk about the will of God. And tonight, as I want to bring to some thoughts to you about, you know, on that line of what is the center of God's will? What is this? You know, we say, I want to be in the center of God's will. What is that? Where is that? How do I get there? So at this time, I'm going to ask my reader to come up.
Amen.
If he's out, read down the Bible app in time. If you could pull up Romans 12 and 2. If you need to, you can look. You can cheat off me.
Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Thank you, Brother Reader. The last line is what I was really drawn to there. What is the perfect will of God? Where is the perfect will of God? Is that the center of the will? I think that's the center of God's will, that perfect, that good, that acceptable, perfect will of God. So how do we find out what that perfect will is? As I was thinking along this line, you know, Isaiah talks about how God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And we might think we know everything. I know when I was a youth, maybe I thought that. But we don't necessarily know exactly what our lives are going to look like, especially as a young person. And I started really thinking along these lines of the perfect will of God. I think we could maybe relate that to a recipe. I don't necessarily like to bake. I like to cook. But I like to just make things up as I go. Kind of like my piano playing. I just, you know, a little bit of this, a dash of that. Hope it all comes out, and sometimes it doesn't. But I don't like to bake. You know why? Because baking takes precise measurements. It takes a lot of time and takes a lot of pre-planning and making sure you have everything. If you don't have everything, oh, I don't have butter. What can I substitute? You got to try to find a substitute. And then it always doesn't seem to turn out really good. So thinking along these lines, when I say cake, do you really think about the ingredients? You know, the IKEA version of the cake? You think about the flour? You think about the eggs? No, we like to think about the finished product. And, you know, we think about seeing people's lives, you're like, oh man, I want to be like Brother, you know, Onion, Sister Cucumber, or whoever. You know, I want to be like them. They're, oh wow, they have it all together. Their cake looks awesome. I want to have what they have. But you never saw the ingredients that those people had to go through. You didn't see any of what happened. So, again, I'm talking about this. What if you were trying to make a regular cake and you said, I'm just going to take each ingredient and taste it first, and then whatever I like, I'll add. How many of you would just add tons of flour to your cake if you just based it off the taste? What about baking powder, vanilla extract, eggs, unsalted butter, maybe some sugar? Yeah, everybody dump some sugar in. All right. Well, what was your cake taste like if all you put in was what you thought should go in it based upon that? Would you change the ratios? Oh, I don't want that. I don't like that. So I'm going to add lots of this. I'm going to leave that out. Would you change things? Would you throw things out? I don't want that. That doesn't belong in my cake. But if you followed that recipe that you have and put in everything in the proportions that it was called out to be and then bake it in the oven, it's going to turn out delicious, most likely. So talking about along the lines of your life, spoiler alert, everything in your life is not going to be sweet. Yeah. Amen. Everything that you go through in your life is not going to be like a bed of roses or a bowl of sugar. There's going to be things you're going to go through that you're not going to understand why. You're not going to know the why. Some things you're going to have to wait to know why you go through them. And that's hard, especially as a young person. And if you think about this, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. There's nothing in the Bible that says you're going to have just, you're going to live happily ever after. You're going to leave the altar from getting saved and you're just going to sail off into the sunset. But nothing happens in your life that God's not going to allow. And it's probably part of his perfect plan. Maybe he's going to have that for your life because that is exactly what you need. Maybe he has the perfect recipe for your life. So if I had a title for tonight, it would be, what is the perfect recipe for your life? And what's really awesome about how God works is each one of us have our own special recipe. Right. Yes, we have pretty much the basics, but oh, I want what they have. Maybe that's not for you. That's, God wants that for them. Proverbs 3 and 5. Brother Reeder, do you know that by heart?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thine own understandings.
Okay. Right, right.
Amen.
Yes. Trust in him with all your heart. That's where we struggle, right? Amen. Lean not to your own understanding. What happens if you start leaning one way? If you keep leaning, oh, I'm going to lean this way. What's going to happen? You're going to fall. You can't lean to your own understanding. But again, we don't want to put all of our trust in God. Okay, I'll trust God for this and this ingredient. Yeah, I'll trust him for that. But I know who I'm going to marry. I've already got that planned. I know what my college is going to look like. I know what my career path is. I've already got that planned out, so I don't need God's help for that.
Amen.
But this is like trying to substitute or add ingredients to your recipe. What would you happen if you ever substituted salt for sugar? They look kind of similar, right?
Yeah.
Anybody ever add salt instead of sugar into something?
No.
I made something one time and put a tablespoon of salt instead of a teaspoon of salt. Doesn't seem like that big of a deal, right? It was banana bread. And it took the first bite, and it was so salty. And it was a disaster. So I threw it out. But we talk about the decisions you're going to make in your life. And you might tell me, Brother Nick, I've got the perfect one picked out. She's a 10. But is she a Christian? He's a 10. But is he the one that God has planned for you?
Right.
Do they fit into your perfect recipe that God has for your life? Again, you may think you have the perfect person for you, but you got to make sure. You got to pray and make sure that this is God's plan for your life.
Amen.
If anyone had me in Sunday school, I'm trying to pick out somebody, Marshall Carr, did you have me in Sunday school? What's the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life? And before you leave my class, I pound that into you. The second most important decision in your life is who you're going to marry. The number one most important decision is, if God speaks to you, choosing to serve him. But the number two, right behind that, is who are you going to marry? This is a very, very important decision. You don't want to have the wrong thing. You don't want to have the wrong ingredient. You don't want to have a substitute if God has the perfect one for you. So again, talking about substitutions for a perfect recipe. Again, if you put a substitution in, it doesn't always work out. Substitutions to God's perfect recipe for your life are going to result in some major problems, some major issues. Jeremiah 10 and 23.
Okay.
For the reader, can you get that?
Yeah. You can
come up. Oh, you got a loud boomy voice. Stay over there.
is that
Old Testament?
That is Old Testament. Okay. I'm just kidding, guys. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
Brother Burton brought this the other night to us. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Young people, the devil's going to work overtime to bring you all the substitutes for your life. He wants to substitute into God's perfect will for your life. His goal is to ruin your life. So I want to talk about some of the substitutes that he's going to try to put into your recipe. One of the things I thought of was ungodly friends or ungodly influences. What if you substituted cayenne for cinnamon? Anybody remember when Brother Phil did that in the apple pie baking contest? Yeah, those judges had a shock, right? Ungodly friends bring negative peer pressure. They're going to try to get you to do things that you know that are wrong. They're trying to get you to sin. There's actually two types of peer pressure. Somebody brought this to me a while back. I thought it was an awesome thought. There's negative peer pressure, ungodly people trying to get you to do ungodly things. And there's positive peer pressure. Where do you find positive peer pressure at? Camp meeting, right here. This is positive peer pressure. Hey, let's go to Young People's. Wish some of you wouldn't have been so excited to invite your friends, but positive peer pressure, being around other young people that are like-minded, that want to serve God. That is where God wants you, in his perfect will. I thought about another substitution that the devil's going to try to tempt you with, is a college or a career path that's going to take you away from the church. I know our pastor brings this often. That's not a good substitution. He wants to take you away from God. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and then later on it says, "And all these things shall be added unto you." So what's the promise? All these things. What are all these things? Well, I want a $500,000 house and a $300,000 car. Is that what God's promising? No. But God knows our needs. He knows you need a career. He knows what you need in your life. And he has it all planned out. But we got to seek him first. I thought Brother Burton brought a great point the other night, talking about how he was looking for a wife, and then he stopped looking for a wife, and he started looking for God, and he found his wife. I thought that was an amazing thought that he brought out. There are lots of other substitutes we could all talk about. I think you guys could name several if I ask, but one of the last ones that I thought of is drugs. And young people, I'm begging you, please don't ever let the devil try to get you to substitute drugs into your life. This would be like adding rat poison into your recipe. The devil's going to try to tempt you. Just try it once. And unfortunately, we see too many instances where a young person tried something just one time and they went out into eternity. And that's what the devil's goal is. The devil wants that for each and every one of you. John 10 and 10 says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Does anyone know what one of the leading causes of death is in young people? I looked this up. Ages 10 to 34, actually. Suicide. Drug overdose would be one of them. Suicide is another one. The devil's going to try to convince you that you've messed up your recipe. You've added too many substitutes. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't fix it now. Just end it. He is using depression and anxiety in this day and age more than ever before. He's going to try to bring these dark thoughts to you. Right. He's going to try to tell you that you've ruined everything. You've ruined your life. Young people, if you can just only remember one thing about what I say to you tonight. I want you to remember this. Suicide is an express one-way ticket to hell. Suicide is not an easy way out. The devil's going to be there to laugh at you for all eternity. And I'm telling you this from experience. If you're having those thoughts, don't just harbor them. Don't just hold on to them. Oh, I can't tell anything about this. You need to take it to God. And if you can't get victory there, you need to take it to somebody spiritual that you trust. Your parents, your youth leaders, your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, and others. Psalms 34 and 18. God is near to them that are of a broken heart. And save such that are of a contrite, or I looked it up in another translation, or a crushed in spirit. Even if you feel like you've messed up everything in your recipe. Now, some of you young people are just starting out, and you think, well, I haven't really even started. Some of you may think, I'm old, and I've made too many bad decisions. But even if you think you've made too many bad decisions, God's going to help you repair it. Right. Keep in mind, that doesn't mean the cake's going to be perfect. If you added a bunch of substitutes, God can help you fix the cake, but you may have to taste some unpleasant things. There's going to be reaping. Right? The sign over here says reaping and sowing. Yes. The sowing is very small, one little kernel of corn. The reaping could be large. So again, God can help you fix it, but you may have to reap. Every decision you're going to make in your life is either going to have a positive or negative result. Big decisions shouldn't be made hastily without prayer. Psalms 37 and 4. Brother Nolan, did you find that? You know where Psalms is at?
Yep. Right after Genesis.
Okay, good.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Okay, good. Amen. So if you're a Christian, the desires of your heart should be what God wants for your life, Amen. Right? And so if you commit your ways, all your ways to him, he will bring it to pass. But it's going to take patience. Now think about this. If I was going to sit up here and make a cake in front of you guys, I'm not going to do a cooking demo. But if I was to put everything together, I have all the ingredients in the bowl, right? I've mixed everything up. Who's ready to taste it? Is it done? Right? It's not done yet. It's got to go through the fire. It's got to go through the oven. We got to put it in there and bake it. And we don't necessarily always like that. We don't like trials. But trials are going to make us stronger. God knows exactly what we need. He's going to put us through. And he's actually putting things together when we think things are falling apart. Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Think about this. Let's say you have the cake in there, and it says 400 degrees for 30 minutes, and it's been in there 5 minutes, and I'm starving. I'm taking it out and eating it right now. Is it going to be any good? I'm tired of waiting on God. God, I gave you until I was 20 years old, and now I'm going to go my own way. I'm done waiting on you. If you tried to eat a cake when it was half-baked, that would taste disgusting. Don't get impatient with God. If you think God's forgotten you, doesn't have your best interest in mind, I'm here to tell you, you're very sadly mistaken. Right. Luke 12 and 7 says, for even the hairs of your head are numbered. Ye are of more value. Fear not, therefore, you're more value than many sparrows. I knew I should have had Nolan read that. But God has your hairs of your own head numbered. You guys don't even know that. And my mom talked about it the other night, how God spoke directly to her and said, if I can take care of that little bird in the window, you're so worried about everything, I've got everything under control. I can take care of it all. And it says how much more he cares for you. If he knows exactly what that sparrow needs, the sparrow doesn't worry about where it's going to get its next meal. God takes care of him, and how much more he cares for us. I can tell you, as I'm standing here today, I'm positive he has a perfect plan, a perfect recipe for each and every one of you. If you're going to follow this recipe, you're going to have to get into his cookbook. Where's the cookbook at? Anybody know? All right, Brother Alex, thank you. The Bible. You're going to have to get in the cookbook. You're going to have to pray. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. God has promised he will direct our paths. That's all I have.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Amen!
Well, I for one am very grateful for the thoughts that Brother Nick brought. I I remember some time ago I had listened to a message that one had brought about baking cookies. Long time ago, I don't remember when it was, but those are always very, very good thoughts. And when it is, I love the in the fire, in the oven. You know, one thought that I do have about that is, if you're baking a cake or you're cooking something and you have that in the oven, are you going to just leave it in the oven and go out to Walmart and do some grocery shopping and hope for the best? I hope not. If you do, you're in trouble. But the creator of that cake is always right there. You may not feel them. That cake, you are not holding that cake while it's in the oven. Yeah. But the creator is always there. And God is just always there for us, just like the footsteps in the footsteps in the sand poem. He will hold your hand, he will guide you, but you might not feel him because he is the one that has you. So at the